Folks, you're so welcome. My name's Andy. I'm part of the team here. If you're a guest or visitor, if this is your first time with us or you're new to us, we really hope you feel at home and at ease. You made it. How many of you had a disaster with times this morning? Just me on my own? Chris, you have a disaster with time every morning. No different. You had a disaster with time. We had a slight mix up of time, 10 to 10. I shouted down to Dana, are we ready to go? And none of the children were dressed because our clocks in the kitchen were saying 10 to 9. I don't know what she thought had happened for the 2 hours that we'd been awake, but anyway. She's getting me coffee at the minute, I think. She's not even in here. Don't tell her. Here she comes. She has no idea. Everybody say good morning, Dana. Thanks, darling. That's all right. I was just talking to him about how you performed so incredibly this morning, getting everyone ready and sorting all that stuff out for us. Hiding. So it's Palm Sunday, and that's about as much about Palm Sunday as I'm going to say. we have other things to talk about. But I would really encourage you this week, if you're new to church, new to faith, new to Jesus, I can really encourage you to just spend some time in the Gospels reading the accounts from Palm Sunday through to Good Friday and Easter Saturday and Sunday. It's a really amazing time of the year. Every year this week I try to take some extra time to escape and just reflect on those passages and the story of Jesus. It's just incredible. I was feeling really good as a parent last night because Dana tried to get our kids to watch this movie called Hop. Any of you seen Hop? It's all about the Easter Bunny and chocolate, and it's got absolutely nothing to do with Jesus. And I'm watching the thing going, this is terrible. We're like indoctrinating our children into like Easter's all about chocolate, which, you know, I wasn't all that excited about. And they got about 15 minutes in and all three of them turned around like, we really don't like this. Can we watch something else? I was like, yes. But, you know, the truth is Christmas is meaningless without Easter. Like, Christmas is completely meaningless without Easter. And I always find it so interesting, not in our culture, because that makes tons of sense, right? I mean, in a consumer-based culture and economy, it makes sense that our high point is Christmas, where we try to convince everyone to buy more stuff that they don't need and all that kind of stuff. That makes sense to me. But what doesn't make sense to me is when Christians seem to put more of an emphasis on Christmas than Easter. Both are incredibly important. But Easter is Christmas is utterly meaningless without Easter. And I really hope this week, and as we move towards Easter Sunday, an Easter weekend, that you do spend some time wrestling and listening and reflecting and meditating on this story that makes everything we're doing possible. So it's 1 week to go. How many of you said you were going to come to the 9:45? Wave at me. How many of you said 11:30? How many of you said you're leaving in protest? Cue all of our staff. So we've been talking, if you're new to us, we've been talking over this past month about this idea of making room for more. And we've been talking a lot about moving to double services, but the reality is that we are convinced that God is speaking that to us as a community, and that means way more, that matters way more, that's way broader than just making more space on a Sunday, although it does include that. And we've been looking at this little verse from Isaiah 54 that says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. And we've been talking about what it means to make room for more. And I love that we've kind of described this season in our lives and in our church in this way. Because I don't know about you, but for me, I'm always hungry to experience, and this is going to sound like a critique of something, and I don't mean that, okay? So get ready, but some of you will know what I mean. But I love and have a hunger to experience or encounter more. I love that. But the reality is that we can do that and live in that space and place and spend most of our life just trying to find that next thing, event, conference, book, or whatever that's going to enable us to experience or encounter more of God, but never actually change or reorder our lives to actually steward and invest in the things that He's doing. The reality is when God moves, when He experiences or encounters us, when He speaks to us, there is a requirement on us, upon us, to partner with Him in joining in the process. That if all we're ever desiring or hungering for is an encounter or an experience, I think we sell ourselves and our community and our city short. You see, there's an onus on us. Whenever I gather in rooms like this, just putting myself in the room is really all that I need to do. And I will encounter and I will experience more of God. The challenge for me is, what am I going to do tomorrow? And the day after, and the day after. And that requires us to actually make room. To not just experience, but to make room. To reorder our lives, to reorder our priorities. And one of the ways we are doing that is by adding another morning service. We say to our kids, this is the last time we're coming to church at 10:30. And they all went, we're leaving? And we were like, oh, no, wait. The times are changing. I completely missed them, I think. If you see any of them later and they're telling you we're leaving, we're not. From next week, Easter Sunday, we'll be meeting new times, 9:45 and 11:30. And just to highlight, there will be little party and big party in both. Okay, so we're not just doing little party, big party in one. Both gatherings will have little party and big party for your kids. If you're new to us or you've been around for a while and you're wondering how you can get involved or get connected, there are some Serve the Family cards knocking around. It's a great way to meet some people and actually get involved with what's going on here on Sundays. One more thing quickly about next week. We call it Party People for a reason, okay? So we're not killing your children, they're having fun. I hope. Easter Sunday is one of the times that people are most open to actually gathering in church. For people that typically would find an environment like this really weird, most of us find it really weird, let's be honest, but people that would find this kind of scary or avoid this kind of thing, Easter Sunday is an incredible moment. So those of you who have friends and family who don't normally connect to church or aren't normally open to conversations about faith or Jesus, can I really encourage you this week to take a risk and invite somebody? Invite somebody. We've seen this over the last 5 years consistently every single year on Easter Sunday when people take a risk and invite the world. That Easter Sunday, for whatever reason, is an incredible moment where people typically say, ah, do you know what? Actually, I'll come on Easter. I'll come on Easter. And as many of you have discovered, you've kind of found yourself in here somewhat reluctantly, you know, not even sure why I'm here, been dragged along in protest. And fast forward 6 months or 2 years, and guess what? You're actually passionately following Jesus. It's amazing what happens when we actually encounter God. So can I really encourage you to invite some people, be brave. But when it comes to making room for more in our gatherings, this has been pretty normal for us over the last 5 years of our journey as Lagan Valley Vineyard. Our Sunday morning gatherings began in our living room, and there was about 8 of us. And it was kind of fun, actually. Like, it was really cozy, it was really nice, and it was really cool. We did that for 4 weeks, and then we realized, like, literally, like, if anybody else, if any of you familiar with our home, this was before we added the extension. So, like, literally, our living room was 4 meters squared, right? That's how big it was. And so once you add furniture and a TV and 8 people, like, there's really not a whole pile of room. And so we got to the end of the month in September and we're like, do you know what? This just doesn't work. Nobody can invite anybody. And so we moved to Haslam's Lane. We made room for more there, and loads of you connected with us in that really weird wee place. Like it was so weird. There was like this big red wall that we never really painted, and this tile floor, and the room was this bizarre shape, and the stage was literally about the size of 2 pallets. And once you added James and sometimes a kick drum, because that was our band, James and kick drum, totally out of time. But I loved it. I loved it. I'm the only one that loved it. He hated it. I was like, bring back the kick drum. He was like, no, it's awful. But we grew in there. And like by the time we got to like 40 people in there and no party people, nothing for kids, just secret. We used, Noor was a baby then. We used to put Noor in a store upstairs. It was like church was nap time for her, and put a monitor in the store, and then we would do church downstairs while she was sleeping upstairs. But we outgrew there, and we had to move, and we moved to the Civic Center, and some of you connected with us in the Civic Center, and that was a fun time. It was always a wee bit too nice for us, I think. Most of us were like, this feels too shiny and like too kind of whatever. But we were there for a while and some of you connected with us there. And then we moved up to Pond Park Primary School. And any of you that were on our welcome team in Pond Park Primary School will remember, we used to have to make tea and coffee in the community house in the estate. And the guys would make tea and coffee in the community house, show up really early, and then used to ferry it over to the school in pouring rain, howling wind at the time, so that people could have a cup of coffee. And we moved there. And then a couple of years ago, we moved into this incredible space. And we've been hearing over the last few weeks of people that have connected with us at different stages of this journey, from Yvonne week one, and then Francis, and then Hannah, and little Seth last week. And here's the thing, every time we have made room for more people, every time we have made more space, people have connected with us and connected with Jesus. People literally that would say things like, I would never in a million years darken the door of a church, have found themselves in different moments standing on this stage or others like it, talking about their passionate pursuit of Jesus and his kingdom. And this morning, I want to introduce you to the amazing Josh. Josh often makes what happens behind me here happen. And I want you to hear Josh's story. Will you welcome Josh as he comes? Josh also spends, like, he spends most of his time behind the kind of computer down there, and he's been dying to get up here for like, so he's very excited. How are you doing? You alright?
I'm doing good, yeah.
Good. Josh, can you tell us a bit about yourself, a bit of background, story, who you are, where you come from, that kind of stuff?
Just before we start, I'm not like just texting somebody or anything, I've got notes. Okay. It's important to note that I'm not like bored of Andy.
Feel free to text if you want, pal.
Oh, great, you know? Cheers. Just tweet it quickly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, my relationship with God and Jesus in particular, like, it's technically been there all my life. It's, like, traditional, like, grandparents. Like, really traditional. And, like, I was, like, any excuse to not go to church on a Sunday. It's, like, I was, like, faking coughs, like, demanding Calpol. Like, I was all over that. Like, Calpol was my life for a while. And it's, like, it was just that whole, like, why'd I want to show up in a suit and, like, essentially have a really boring history lesson. And it was like, none of this is relevant, like none of this is now. So I was like, nah, I'm sorry. And my grandmother hated it. If only she could see me now, huh? So it was like, yeah, it was one of those things that was like always there, but I always like ignored it. More to the point, neglected it. And I suppose it was 2 years ago, whenever my amazing best friend Jess, she's gonna hate me for this, but give us a wave.
That's a lovely Jess.
Perfect.
Morning, Jess.
Perfect. And yeah, she invited me to her baptism. She'd been coming here for a while. And I was initially like, how dare she do that? It's like, I don't want to go, but I'm like, I feel like I have to go for like respect's sake. So for about 2 weeks, I argued with myself and I went, you want to what? Not for Jesus. No, for her. I'll go. And I'll hate it. I promise myself I'll hate it. I promise myself I'll hate every moment.
I'll get it.
Good thing that's insured. So yeah, it was like, I hated it. Like, I would build this thing up that I would hate every moment of it, and that like everyone in this building are going to be like weirdos and judge me for it. But like, that was me, and I was like, I'm going to love this. I'm going to love people hating me for this. And then as soon as I walked through those doors over there, and I wish I could remember who was on welcome team so I could thank you for it, but like, I just felt this sense of, maybe I'm wrong. It's like, yeah, these guys are weird Jesus people. Don't get me wrong, but they're good people, and I felt comfortable. So we came in and sat right over there where Kev's sitting, and the service just kicked off. It was a Jericho service. It was the 6th of November, 2016, and the baptism tank was over there, and I was just, like, taken back by that, like, this was music, not hymns, music, And like, I suppose that really took me in, that like some of the songs were like good. In a sense, they were good and I enjoyed them. So it was like, yeah, and it was great. And like, I was always like, who's that weird guy with the stupid hair and the ripped jeans up there with that guitar? He's actually pretty cool. I was like, maybe we'll speak to him. And yeah, the service went on and my head was like racing and my heart was racing and I was like sweating and everything. I was a mess. And at the end, after the baptism, I decided to come speak to Andy. I remember it. And I remember basically telling him, I don't agree with any of this, but I'll be back. It's like, I'll be back. And yeah, and then all that week, I like fought with myself. It's like, I'm not going back. That was weird. I'm not doing that to myself again. I'm worth more than this. And like, sorry, it's all great. And it was like, yeah, and I was like, I'm going to go. I'm not going to go. And I fought with it all week. And I was like, I remember taking like time out at like night and stuff and being like, Jesus, if you're there, like, give me a sign that like you want me there and I should be there. And all week I was like waiting for this, like, I suppose, amazing prophetic sign where I'd be like walking down the street and like Jesus would just like come down and be like, church Sunday, 10:30, be there. But like, it didn't happen. And on the Saturday night, I just had this real feeling in my heart that it wasn't ever supposed to be this amazing sign or anything like that. It was just that Jesus had invited me and it was there. The invitation was open. And on Saturday night, I remember just going, you know what, screw this, you're going. And I went to sleep. I woke up without any thought. And I came in and I remember Nicola Williams, is she here?
She's in Big Party.
I remember she went to my high school. She done like sort of, what's the word for it? Like she helped out with like SEM kids and stuff. And I knew Nicola for a while. And Nicola will tell you what a hard child I was to deal with. Nicola knows I was a pain in the ass. So it's like, and I remember like she sat beside me roughly over there somewhere. And it was just this moment of, this is coming. I have no control of it. And I think I want it. And it was then November 13th, the week after the baptism service in 2016 in here, that I decided at 10:52 a.m.
Wow.
To give my life to Jesus, yeah. And I was, now we're here. Not regretting it.
That's an important detail, not regretting it.
Yeah. Yet.
Can you tell us, Josh, what differences Jesus made in your life?
There's been so many differences. Like, it's one of these things, whenever I like sit back and think about it, I'm like, I'm not one of these people who always says, like, oh, I was broken and I needed help, because I thought my life was perfect. Like, to me, going out on a Friday night and not coming home until Sunday morning was perfect. Like, it was perfect. Not remembering the weekend was great. And I would always say I was, like, happiest, like, when I was like that. But now that I've got Jesus like by my side, and I suppose him to almost like mentor me through these things, that I've decided that like this is what I am. And like, I was a really angry person. Like, I probably would have started a fight if you just looking at me like this now. You know what I mean? So it's like that anger, as much as it's still there and it gets the best of me sometimes, especially when James is changing set lists and, you know, making me look like a fool. But it's like, I can deal with it now. And that's not through, you know, me being like, oh, look at me, I'm great, I can now deal with myself. It's, I've now got a support network through the love of Jesus that allows me to let go of the sort of, I suppose, fear of myself that leads to the anger and all the rest of it, and just know that he's there to like, take it and steer me in the right path. And I suppose, yeah, I wouldn't be anywhere near where I am without him. And just the little things as well, like all the little things, like, you know, just having that person that you can call friend no matter what, like 24/7, be it 4 a.m, whenever you're losing sleep and you're worried about something. It really is nice just to have that. And it's something I suppose I never thought I would have. It's like for years I always like felt like there was something missing. Like even when I was like 10, I was like, this is good, but there's something better. And like, I could never find it. And I suppose when I got older, I subsidized that with like alcohol and violence and just all the bad things under the sun, like tattoos and stuff as well, I suppose. as much as we get more, even here. But it's that sort of thing of, yeah, I've gone to Bonnie Chill and lost myself, but yeah, Jesus is great.
Wonderful.
Recovered.
Josh, I know that baptism particularly has been like a really significant part of your journey. It was a baptism gathering when you first connected with us, and was it 6 months later we baptized you?
Easter Sunday, almost a year ago.
Yeah, wow. Just really briefly, what would you say to somebody this morning that's maybe thinking, want to get baptized but I'm not sure or whatever? What would you say to somebody that's in that place?
I've had this conversation with a few people, and it's like everyone like hypes it up to be this like big thing, and it's like your life is going to be like restored, and like I suppose more traditional churches will be like, when you accept Jesus in general, your life is just perfect and it's fine. But like I would say that like there's no right place for a baptism. Like there's no point in your life where you're like, I'm ready for that, because you'll never be ready for it. And at the end of the day, it's not this like amazing spiritual moment. It's just a declaration that you want to follow Jesus and live your life as he wants you to and serve him the best you can. And I think once you've accepted that, you're ready. Obviously, don't rush into it. Like, it's a big choice for anyone out there who is thinking about Easter Sunday. Just remember, Easter Sunday, Jericho baptisms.
Wonderful. It's great. One of the things that I've loved as Josh has kind of journeyed with us is Josh is interning with us this year. He's in the office loads, and it's just been incredible to see his passion to serve God come out in his life. So we're gonna pray for Josh, and I'd love you to maybe stand with us if you're able while we do that. Would you stand? Come on, stand up there, bud. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in Josh's life. And Lord, thank you for his obedience to you. And I thank you for how he's ordering his life around following you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray you continue to lead him into the rest of the year and into all that he's dreaming about for the future. And I pray that your favor would rest upon him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give big Josh a hand. Thanks, pal. One of the things Josh didn't say is that he was firmly in that category of never in a million years thinking he would be standing up in front of a few hundred people sharing about his passionate pursuit of Jesus. I love that. And you know, one of the things that I wasn't necessarily planning on saying this, but one of the things I love about those of you who serve in our welcome team is it's so easy to think that you're just here to kind of wave at people as they arrive or make tea and coffee or whatever that kind of looks like. But the reality is you do that. When someone's fully expecting to walk into a room and be judged, when they're expecting to walk into a room and feel awkward, actually they arrive and feel loved and accepted. And I love that. I absolutely love that. Incidentally, we are baptizing 8 people next Sunday night. Thanks, 8. Which is cool. And if you are wrestling with baptism, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and help you as you think kind of through that. But every time we make room for more, we get stories like Josh's. We get people that never would have associated themselves really with church or faith that end up in this kind of place. It's amazing. There are literally hundreds of people in our city and in this region who have not yet connected with Jesus who will because we are making more space for them. That is the reality that in 5 years' time, if we were to do this again, there will be loads of people saying, I connected at the 9:45 or at the 11:30. That as we make room for more, people connect and their lives are changed. I want to finish this conversation this morning reminding us of some of what we've been talking about as we move into this kind of new chapter for us as church. Week one, I shared with you all that we pay for what we value. That we pay for what we value. And that's one of the reasons why we're adding this service. I said that, if you remember, I said that I value food, and that's reflected in our monthly budget. I went home and Dana said, you should have said mountain kind of climbing equipment. And I said, well, actually, that hasn't made it into our monthly budget yet, although that would be awesome. But we all pay for what we value. If you value a hotel break every quarter, that's what will look like in your life. You'll see that on your bank statements. If you value people groups that are enduring humanitarian crisis being supported, you probably fund organizations like Tear Fund or Medicine Sans Frontières, things like that. And in this community, we are passionate about those who don't or wouldn't normally find themselves in an environment like this on a Sunday morning, who don't or wouldn't necessarily associate their lives with things of faith or with the person of Jesus. We are deeply passionate about those kind of people. And we gladly make ourselves uncomfortable so that people like that will feel comfortable among us and around us. We value being obedient to Jesus, and we will order and reorder our lives around the things that he's saying to us. We value that. And the second week, we talked about how and what does it actually look like for us to make room for more. And we talked about sacrifice. We talked about this muscle of sacrifice, of learning how to live that kind of life. Matthew 16, Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. I wonder, when was the last time you denied yourself? When was the last time, like, you really, I'm not talking about like going off bread for Lent. Bless you all that have done that. I'm talking about like really denied yourself. When was the last time you did that? That seems to be pretty high on Jesus's metric of what it means to be somebody who follows him. If any would consider themselves my disciple, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. You've heard me say this many times. One of the things that we can, people like me can be guilty of, is painting a picture of the Christian life as all adventure, all excitement, all passion, and all adrenaline. And it is adventurous. It does stoke and provoke passion. There is adrenaline that's connected to it. But there is also a huge part of the Jesus-shaped life that costs and can be painful and requires us to deny ourselves, to give things up and to let things go, to make room in our lives for the things of him and his kingdom. I often wonder what our city would look like if we embraced a life of sacrifice for the sake of others right across the city. And last week, Mark did an incredibly honest and vulnerable job challenging us with the question, what are you investing in? Like, the reality is all of us are creating legacy in our lives. There is a momentum, a direction. There is something that is flowing through us and onto others that are around us. I wonder, are you aware of what that is? What are you investing your life in? Matthew 6:19 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. What if the key to life is giving, not getting? What if the key to life is giving, not getting? And this morning, I want to finish this conversation with just two things from Isaiah 54, verse 2, as we wrap this up. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch back your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. The last part of this verse says something that I think is really key to us as we move forward. Isaiah prophesies, do not hold back. Do not hold back. One of the things that I have observed in my own life over the last kind of 14 years of following Jesus is sometimes we can move towards the things that God actually speaking over us or inviting us into, but we can kind of move towards them cautiously and quietly and reservedly. That on the outward, it looks actually like we're in motion, but inwardly we're actually resisting. Or we make funny deals. Maybe it's just me that does this, but we make kind of funny deals with God. Well, okay, God, if you do this, then you can have this. Or you can have this part, but I don't want you to talk to me about this part. Or I'll go and do this thing, but don't ever ask me to do that thing. Have you ever been there? Like, I'm up for this bit, but never that bit. One of the things, I spent some time with our HOTS team, our Healing on the Streets team, a couple weeks ago, and almost all of them said something like, I went to the HOTS training with no intention of ever doing HOTS. Like, I went to kind of find out more about prayer and healing, but I was like, God, I'm not going out on the streets. I'm never going to be that weird person that kneels in Bow Street and then prays for strangers. That's not me. I'm not doing it. What would we be like as a family if we embraced this challenge from Isaiah to not hold back? Like, to not hold back. And not in an outward way, but like in an inward, secret, quiet, deeply committed, God, I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to reorder my life around what you say is important, around what you value. I'm not going to hold anything back. I really sense, actually, that this is a word for some individuals in the room today. You've maybe been wrestling with God. You feel like he's been leading you towards something. It's maybe a change of career, a change of direction, a new opportunity, some new priorities, some new stuff that you're like, oh my goodness, this feels risky, it feels dangerous, it feels costly. But the reality is there's an invitation from God to us this morning to step into the more that he has for us and his city. And we really sense this morning that he's saying the door is open. The door is open, but there's like a crossing over required, a threshold moment. And we cannot cross thresholds and hold back. It requires us to go all in. And I know you're familiar with that concept around here. As we make room for more, I feel like God would say to each one of us, do not hold back. Do not hold back. The closer we get to what God is inviting us into, the easier it is to sanitize or downscale the dream or the vision. It's easier as we get closer to things that feel risky and hard and difficult, it gets much easier for us to go, well, actually I'll have a piece of it, but man, I'm not sure I'm gonna go for the whole. Like, we want to see our entire families encounter Jesus, but we settle for like a sister or a grandparent. The risk of disappointment gets kind of smaller and we feel like we can manage it. And I feel like the Lord would say to us this morning, do not hold back. Do not hold back your dreams. Do not hold back your passions. Do not hold back. Don't scale it down. Don't sanitize it. Don't make it something that you can manage. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. there are some of you in this room that are wrestling with dreams of fostering and adoption. And it's so scary and it's so costly. And I feel like the Lord would say to you, do not hold back. I really sense there are some of you that are engaged in fairly deep conversations with either business partners or spouses about literally reordering the finances of your business or your family. And you've kind of let the cat out of the bag. You've started the conversation and now it feels like, oh, flip. I think I need to scale that back a little bit because that's going to be costly and difficult and hard. And I really sense the Lord would say, do not hold back. Gail, I sensed that over via Wings this morning just as I was upstairs in my study praying. I hadn't prepared to even address anything to do with via Wings this morning. But for all of you that are involved in via Wings and Drumore and everything that's going on there, I just sensed the Lord would say, do not hold back. There's some stuff that's in your hearts and you're trying to move towards and it's difficult and it's easy to kind of go, well, maybe we could settle for this part of that. Or maybe we could actually shift that strategic plan and just settle for this bit. But I feel like the Lord is saying, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Some of you have dreams of new business ideas, new opportunities, new things that are hugely scary and incredibly costly. And I just want to offer you this morning that maybe the Lord is saying, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. And finally, and this is the really important bit for us all, the verse finishes, this text finishes with a command to strengthen our stakes. To strengthen our stakes. To allow God to come and supernaturally strengthen us for the more that's coming. There is more coming. And we need to heed his word to strengthen ourselves, to strengthen our stakes. I have a friend who talks about moments like this as gear changing or gear shift moments. My first car, let me finish with this. My first car was a 1.1 Citroen Saxo. It was green, had a sunroof and a CD player, and I thought it was class. And whenever I drove it above 60 miles an hour, it made a sound something like this. That was awful. And it was basically what was happening was this wee 1.1 engine was literally screaming for another gear. Like it was screaming for it. My Volkswagen Touran has six gears. And when you drive it at 60 miles an hour, you can't hear anything. Whenever we change gears, what actually happens is we're able to go faster and work harder with less energy and less effort. We're able to go faster and work harder less. And the thing that's really, really important for us as we move into this season of growth, and I'm not talking about double services specifically, but just this sense of positioning, posturing ourselves for the more, making room for more. We need to change gears. We need to change gears. And we need to allow the Lord to come and increase our capacity as we do that. So James, why don't you come up? I really sense this morning that how do you change gears, right? It's easy in a car, right? Clutch in, accelerator off, and do whatever you need to do. What does it look like for us as people? How do we do that? It's a great question. I have no idea. I'm not even really joking. But I know that one of the things the Lord does supernaturally is increase our capacity. And he can do it in a moment. Things that felt hard and difficult, and stressful, and needing loads of energy. Sometimes in a moment, he just increases our capacity and gives us an ability to do more. And I really feel like for us this morning, that's one of the things he wants to do. So James is going to lead us for a minute or two, and then I'm going to get up and pray. And we'll see what he does.
I wonder how many of us would say our lives are full, like at capacity. So what do we do when God says you need to make room for more? I feel like we need to allow him to come and help us to change gear supernaturally in our lives, to change gear, to increase our capacity to hold what he's releasing over us. So I want to encourage you this morning, just where you are, to just open your palms in front of you if you want to respond to this morning. Just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, come now. And some of you are going through incredibly difficult family circumstances and you feel like you're at capacity. And we just declare a change of gear for you right now to cope with more, to hang in there. Some of you feel that you're absolutely at your limit in work, that you just can't cope with any more. And we just declare a change of gear for you. You would have a new gear. You cope with more. To hold more. And Lord, we welcome that over our family here at Lagan Valley Vineyard. Pray that you would help us to change gear. To hold the more that you're releasing over us. We say yes. We say yes to you increasing our capacity to enlarge the place of our tent, to stretch our tent curtains wide. Give us courage to hold nothing back, to lengthen our cords. And would you come and strengthen us? Would you come and strengthen us deep in our souls, in our weary bodies and tired minds? Would you come and strengthen us? I pray that you would make us a people that see the more that you're doing, the more that you're saying, the more that you're releasing over our families and communities, the places that we work, over this city and this region. Give us eyes to see the more.
Out of care for you guys, I just felt like there needed to be something practical. He said, well, how do I shift a gear? And I was asking Jesus what it is that he does in me when he asks me to shift a gear, which he constantly seems to be doing. Recently he's just asked me to shift gears to places I never thought I had the capacity to go, and I'm learning. And so I just feel like he wants to give you something that's very easy to do in order to shift gear. And it's a biblical principle that he allows his kingdom to come in. And that's simply a thankful heart. I believe that it's a thankful heart that releases the kingdom of God. And the wonderful thing about that is that's so easy to do. There's not a person that cannot be gently and gratefully thankful. And Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything. Father has released me from anxiety this year by just inviting me to ask him in every situation with prayer, which is just talking to Jesus, and thanksgiving, to just bring up requests towards God, and then he makes his wonderful promise. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then if you read on in Philippians 4, it talks about just lining your life up with Jesus, being very practical with that. But it starts with a thankful heart. And so, Father, we come before you as a community this morning. And at this transition period, it feels the most appropriate to say to you, we are so grateful. We are so grateful that you are making room for more in our lives. We are so grateful that you see our destiny beyond what we ever see in ourselves. And so, Father, we just respond with what we can, and that is to say thank you that you have chosen me, that you have chosen us to partner with you in your kingdom. And so with a thankful heart, we ask you to shift gears, and we simply present our lives to you with thanksgiving. And Father, we ask that you'd look after our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we invite your peace to come as we partner with you. We love you, Jesus.